This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
.305 on The Fan. Mick Monagle here with you. I just, you know, I don't understand the Tibbs stuff. I don't. I just don't. There's disappointment, sure, and every coach has their issues or whatever, but, like, I've watched the games. We talk about it. It's mainly about I think it's the effort, and you could put that at the feet of the coach, no doubt, I suppose. I mean, the players got to come out and have their own, personal responsibility to come out and play the game. Carl Anthony Towns could be a hell of a lot more dominant than he's been. And I got on the coach in the Detroit series for not getting the ball more to Carl Anthony Towns. I think it's been better in the last two series. But again, they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. They just beat the Boston Celtics. There's always things we could get on a coach for, but he never gets any of the positive stuff. It's a lot like, you know, I'm always with Aaron Boone. Players win, Aaron Boone loses. And right now, that's what it's feeling like with the Knicks. The players, Jalen Brunson wins, Tibbs loses. That's what it feels like. I don't understand it. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Hector in Ridgewood. What's up, Hector?
What's going on, Chris, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. I couldn't agree with you more, bro. As a Bulls fan, and I'm telling you, I miss Tibbs. Mm. People don't understand. Prior to Tibbs, Vinny Del Negro, Scott Skiles, we get Tibbs, he comes with a culture.
Yeah.
60% win percentage. We didn't miss the playoffs. I think 5-6 years straight playoffs. Obviously, what happened with Derek, unfortunate. Yep. We get rid of Tibbs. I don't even count the play-in. We made the playoffs maybe twice in 9 years.
Yep.
Twice. And our win percentage is at 40%. And then my old man, he's a diehard Knicks fan.
Yeah.
You got to remember, prior to Tibbs, what culture did the Knicks have? Nothing.
No, they had terrible culture.
Dude, Tibbs comes here. Look, 4 playoff appearances in 5 years.
Yep.
Back-to-back 50-win season.
Back-to-back 50-win seasons, 3 straight years making it out of the first round, and now the first Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2000.
And Chris, let's not talk about the first year as a Bulls head coach. Guess what? Coach of the year.
Yeah.
First year as a Knicks head coach. Guess what? Coach of the year.
Yep.
Dude, it's just a winning culture.
I don't disagree, and I think that works against him in the mind of some fans. Because they see him at his best. His best is changing the culture year one. Like, that's what's great about Tibbs. It's changing the culture year one. We know he can do that. Great. But then when it comes to winning a championship, he falls short. And he's built us to this point. And it's time to move on. Like, I think that's where the fans get to, which I think is unfair. Because as you know, as a Bulls fan, it's not like that team was a championship, you know, destined team, and Tibbs was holding them back, and then the second they changed the head coach, they went and accomplished anything, they got worse.
And the thing is, it makes me laugh, because it's like, well, Tibbs doesn't trust his bench. No. Tibbs doesn't trust certain players, hence why Carlos Boozer sat in the fourth, and he played Taj Gibson, because Taj never missed a defensive assignment.
Right.
He played Ronnie Brewer. He played C.J. Watson. He played those defensive-minded players because he trusts them. Unfortunately, on the Knicks end, it's kind of hard because it's like, you know, you get Carl Anthony Towns. He's a liability on defense. Great offensively, but, you know, doesn't move his feet well. And same thing with Brunson. You know, you're starting to see that now, so it's a little harder. But at the end of the day, it's a winning culture.
No, you're never
going to miss the playoffs.
And look, it's it it what you're saying is 100% accurate, but I do understand the fans who aren't just satisfied with never missing the playoffs. Eventually, you have to win. And if you feel the coach is costing you games in the postseason by his lack of ability to change or adapt or, you know, make adjustments, then I could understand that. There's no doubt. It's not just about building the culture and winning. They've gotten there. It's amazing. You do have to win. My point is, he just won a series nobody thought he could win. Like, that's the thing. If he would have lost the Pistons series, okay. You lose to the Pistons off a 51-win season? You get embarrassed like that? Okay, maybe you're justified. Even if you lose to the Celtics and you go, man, he couldn't make a single adjustment. They get their ass kicked all year from the Celtics. It goes the same way in the postseason. A lot of guys will tell you, hey, they're just better. It's not the coach's fault. But at least I can say, hey, you know, he didn't even put up a fight. He beat them. Like, they won the series. He's the coach that had the biggest upset in Knicks history. Like, I know they went to an NBA Finals, that team. They went to two NBA Finals, 94 and 99. I get it. But they never beat a team that they couldn't beat. Ever. They needed Jordan to go play baseball to beat the Bulls. They never beat a team that was clearly better than them. Ever. They just beat the Celtics. And me and Fleegs, you know, Fleegs and I talk about this a lot. He also has made every single player in this franchise since he's came here better. Like, he gets no credit for any development of any of these guys other than Bridges, who came here and kind of had a disappointing season. And Cat was already an established player and, you know, had a good year, whatever. So let's minus those two this year. Other than that, OG Anunoby gets traded here, much better. Julius Randle comes here, is pretty much a guy they're looking to probably trade as an expiring contract and get pieces for. That's why he signed. He becomes the best player on the team in the face of the franchise and an all-star. Like, quickly develops. Brunson comes here, and Brunson was a very nice player, but when Brunson came here, everybody mocked the move, including Positive Tommy. Everybody hated it. Everybody said, this doesn't help you win a championship. It's a nice little player, but he's not. Is he even the third best player on a championship winning team? Why are we getting this guy? And he's developed into one of the best players in the NBA. And our favorite Nick since friggin' the 70s. I mean, every guy who comes here plays better. Josh Hart is much better now than he was prior in his career. Every single player gets better. Like, what do you want from the guy? And I've been critical of him, and I've been critical of the minutes. I was critical of some decisions against the Pistons. But once he wins the Boston series, I'm not saying he gets a lifetime contract for that, but he gets next year. I think it's crazy to fire Tibbs off of this season. You might be frustrated with some stuff that's gone on in the series. I cannot fire a guy who's turned around a franchise that was the doldrums of the NBA for two decades, turned him into a yearly winner, had the biggest upset in New York sports over the last 50 years, and the biggest upset in Knicks history, in my mind, and got them to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, that's a guy you fire? I think that just makes no sense to me. That makes no sense to me.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
888-808-1019. I have a tough time firing him. Hey, look, having a conversation legitimately with Leon Rose going, look, we need to figure out a way to get better in these postseason games, or we need to figure out a way to adjust or adapt, or what do we need? Like, yeah. And then if they fall at the same point next year and to the same team specifically, maybe, but like, I don't know, man. Off of that Boston Celtics series, how the hell do you fire the guy? And I've heard people say, you know, that they, you know, talk to people in the know and that right now it's 50-50. Like, I'd be shocked he gets fired. I'd be shocked. Right? CP, the franchise, does a great job with the Knicks podcast. He comes on in the afternoon with Evan a bunch. Following game four, I was listening to his podcast. He made it seem like, yeah, like it's 50-50. And if they would have lost last night, there's a good chance he'd been fired. Like, last night's loss would have hurt him. Now this win especially. I mean, they lose a tough series to a really good Pacers team that had the best record in the NBA since January. I mean, that's who you're gonna fire him for it? I think Tibbs has done an incredible job. And there will come a time where he has to win or he will get fired. It's not this year. Not off of that series win. If he loses in six to a very good Pacers team after beating the Celtics, you're going to fire him? I think that's crazy. 888-808-1019. And then the fact that everyone gets better. Everyone develops. He's developing all these players. We never give him any credit for anything. It's only blame. Again, I know because I think it's a dynamic with the Yankees as well. Brian Cashman gets no credit from the fan base, not from the media, and the media will give Tibbs credit too. The fan base specifically. Right now, the fan base, the New York Yankees, are so upset having not won a championship since 2009 that he gets zero credit. And the same thing with Aaron Boone. Zero credit, specifically more with Aaron Boone. When a reliever comes in and gets the job done, nobody cares. Nobody mentions it. No one says, wow, what a good move by Boone. Nobody. But if a reliever comes in and gives up runs, then Boone's a moron. The Yankees win, Aaron Boone loses. And right now it's starting to feel like, with the Knicks, it's the players win and Tibbs loses. And it's unfair. Eddie and Howell, what's up, Eddie?
Yeah, what's doing?
What's up, buddy?
I'm really excited about the Knicks winning the game tonight. I heard Sam was saying that we should fire the coach. The coach should go for another 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know about 10 years. Eventually he's got to win, but I can't imagine being so frustrated with Thibodeau. What's that?
The Knicks will make it this year. They will make it.
You think they're going to win the next two?
They will make it.
They
will win the finals.
Oh, you think they're going to win the NBA championship?
They'll win everything. Fire. Sam is wrong. The Knicks are going to make it till the end.
All right, Eddie. I appreciate that. I appreciate your confidence. Yeah, he said Sam is wrong. Who's Sam? I don't think that was the last caller's name, was it? Who's Sam? I do not like them, Sam, I am. Listen, let's win game six. Oh, the first critical caller was Sam? Okay. Let's win game six before we declare them NBA champions. They have to win two more games just to win this series. Then they got to go take on one of the more dominant teams we've seen in recent history. Like, it's going to be tough to win the NBA championship. And look, I want to make it clear, too, with the Tibbs stuff. Like, he doesn't have a lifetime job. And eventually just building the culture and having the Knicks be a two, three, or four seed every single year isn't enough. He's got to win. We get it. It's the NBA. You got to win championships. They've got Brunson here in a short window. And if there's any thought from Leon Rose that, or from Jalen Brunson, that Tibbs in some way is holding them back, then yeah, I'm open to it. I just think off of this year is tough. He was given a brand new team, whether he had his fingerprints on it or not, I'm sure he did, but he was given a brand new team. They trade for Mikal Bridges. They trade for Karl Anthony Towns. It's a brand new team. With that team, they win 51 games, including losing Brunson for a month and a half to an ankle injury. And they beat the defending champ, Boston Celtics, who nobody thought they could beat. You're going to fire him off that? And got to the first Eastern Conference Finals that they've been in a quarter century? That's just, to me, that's just a bit tough, considering how good he's made every player that's ever come into the organization. Like, if they make a move next year, right? If they make a couple of moves, let me ask you. If they're going to fortify this bench, right? Because I don't know some mid-level exception guys. I don't know what they're going to do. I would think that's about it. They're not going to change stars. I think this is the core of the team. But they're going to look to improve this roster. Give me another coach that you would feel better about. A player coming in and working with this group and getting better as a player than giving him Tibbs as a head coach. Like, if they're going to add role pieces and improve the roster on the edges, this coach has proved everyone who comes here gets better. I mean, quickly had a real... I mean, you can go on and on with all the different guys who've come here and been really productive. So, I don't know. I just think this isn't the year. Off of that win, of this new team, you give him this group for 2-3 years and they never get past this point, now we have a conversation. Even if I think he's great, even if people continue to get better, you know, they get back here next year, they're playing 2-3 years with this same group and it's getting stale with them and they can't get past this, or they lose in the second round 1 year and then lose again in the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever, they can't get to the NBA Finals, can't win a championship, and it's been a bunch of years with this same group and you feel like it's gotten stagnant, completely fair. Off of this year and beating the defending NBA champs, I have a real problem firing the coach. John in East Meadow. What's up, John?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
They say he's not making adjustments. He sat hard, starts Robinson, okay? Mm-hmm. He brings in Landry. He brings in Wright. He brings in Ochoa, who hasn't played in how many months? A month or 2 months?
No, I guess the point is he should have done it faster when the series was still in the balance. They deem it over now at 3-1.
The series far from over. How can he control that shot that went straight up into the ceiling and comes back down? You can do that a million to one time.
You ain't kidding, man. You ain't. That's. I'm surprised not more people. Like, because I called in on to the afternoon drive show, and thank you for the call. I called into the afternoon drive show. They announced the new Saturday lineup, and you know that I'm doing the show Saturday mornings now, 9 to 1. And they brought me on, and we were talking about the game. It was right after game one, game one was Wednesday night. This was getting ready for Friday night's game two. And you know, Tiki asked me what was the most angry part, because they played the opening of the show, and I screamed "Welcome to Hell" at the opening of the show after game one's loss. So he was like, what was the most annoying part, or what was the part that got you most mad? And I don't think a lot of people point to different things. A lot of people point to the goaltending. A lot of people point, I don't know, to the Nesmith three-pointers. A lot of people point to a bunch of different things. Obviously, the overturned call on the loose ball foul of OG Anunoby and not using more clock and all that stuff. But very few people mention the idea that that's a miracle of a shot. And the worst part about game one to me was the relief I felt when the ball went up in the air like that. I thought they won. I almost jumped up and ran out of the room. Like, I thought it was over. That was a clank. It went straight up in the air. There's no way that shot goes in. That's what hurt me the most. I had a second of, oh, thank God. Only to have it come crashing down. And that thing didn't, I don't know if I've ever seen a basketball not hit net. That's how almost perfect it was. I mean, it clanked up in the air, disappeared out of camera view, we lost track of the basketball for a half a second, and then it floats right back down through the net perfectly. You could not have played, it can't be placed any better.
You ever see the movie The Sixth Man?
Is that the one with Damon Wayans, with the Wayans brothers?
Yeah, and where the one brother passes away and he helps away. The ghost.
Yes.
That's what that shot looked like.
Yes, exactly right. A ghost came out. It was angels in the outfield. It was unbelievable that shot went in. And, you know, let's be honest. Landry Shamet being out there doesn't stop that ball from going in. It's just one of those things, man. It's one of those wacky games. They made a bunch of mistakes. Don't get me wrong. They did. But how does that shot go in? Like, as we're sitting here today off a victorious Game 5, still down 3-2, heading back for a Saturday night Game 6 in Indiana. Forget everything else. Forget all the mistakes. If the luckiest shooter's bounce in the history of basketball doesn't fall through the rim, they're up 3-2. It sucks to think about, but it's true. I don't know how that thing went in. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand it as long as I live. There's a lot of weird things, right? There's a lot of breaks and different things. I'm sure there's a lot of Baltimore Orioles fans who can't believe that that ball over Tony Tarasco's head caught by Jeffrey Mayer is allowed to be a home run. I get it. It's worked in everyone's favor. In 2009, right, there's a ball down the line against the Minnesota Twins that is absolutely foul, and the greatest umpire in baseball history called it fair. I get it. We catch breaks. We there are plenty of circumstances in the history of sports. The end of the 80 World Series with the Royals and the Cardinals at first base. 85 World Series. There's a lot of those moments throughout sports.
Are all refs. This was a ghost.
No, I know that's true. I'm trying to think of. I don't know how that ball went in. The immaculate, reception. I just don't know how that ball went in. And I'm fearful we're going to lament that shot for a long time. But hey, it's not impossible. It started with one win, and they got that last night. Now it's going to Indiana, going to play a game in a building that you've already taken a game of in the series. You're going to play an Indiana Pacers team that had a miserable effort last night. Their superstar in at home, coming off a miserable game where Halliburton didn't score 10 points. He scores 8 points in this game, only takes 7 shots. A defensive effort from the Knicks that they haven't shown us all year. Go in there and do it again, and suddenly you're in the driver's seat for a Game 7 back in Madison Square Garden. It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
All right, 3:32 on this Friday morning as we get you ready for the weekend. And obviously now we have something to do Saturday night. So clear your schedule. Tell your wife you're busy or your significant other or whomever is who bosses you around. Tell them you're busy. I'm sure my wife's going to be thrilled that this continues. She doesn't mind it as much. She hates football season, though. She hates the idea that Sundays are occupied every week. But she hasn't given me too much about this constant Nick playoff game every other night. I don't want it to end. How much fun has this been? When's the last time we've been able to do this into June? That's what's great about it. As much as we want to chase a championship, and maybe this is why I'm easy on the coach, because it's him. Me and Fleas are just talking about it. It's him and Leon Rose that have built this up. They were at a low point after a failed Phil Jackson run where we thought they finally, like, all of us wanted Phil Jackson. Every single one of us wanted them to hire Phil Jackson. And he comes here and he gets the standing ovation at Madison Square Garden. And Phil Jackson, the greatest head coach in NBA history, is going to lead this franchise out of the abyss that it's been in, and instead it's worse after he leaves. It's an unqualified disaster. Unmitigated disaster. And Tibbs and Leon Rose come here and build this thing from scratch, and they've won back-to-back 50-win seasons. They've won a first-round playoff series in three consecutive years, and now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. And nobody says anything about Leon Rose. And the bench is great. I mean, Shamet and Wright are just wonderful, glorious players that Tibbs is at fault for not using correctly. But, like, he gets no blame. And I'm not looking to blame him. I think he's done a great job. But, like, it falls squarely at any failures whatsoever. And it's been more success than we've had in forever. And maybe that's why I said, maybe that's why I'm soft on him. It's been 25 years since we've been here. And he's as important a reason or as big a reason of getting here as anybody. It's him, Leon Rose, and then Jalen Brunson. That's why the Knicks are where they are. I can't imagine off of this year wanting to get rid of him. I can't even imagine it. I think he's getting way too much flack. I can't believe, I mean, it hasn't been a ton, but it's been like a good four calls I've taken tonight complaining about Tibbs. And I get it too, because I'm screaming at the television as well, like, where has this been? Just do this. It's not hard. Do this. Do what you're doing now. Just do this. And they haven't been able to do that consistently. And sure, there's decisions the coach makes that you can agree with, disagree with. Of course, he's not perfect. But man, oh man, he has completely revamped the franchise we deemed dead. It was pointless. Why even continue to do it? Didn't matter who came in. Larry Brown, D'Antoni, doesn't matter. We've been living off of, you know, a month of Linsanity. That's how bad it's been. Now, that's the high point of the franchise over the last 20 years. A month stretch of good basketball from a backup point guard. And now we're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and we're like, man, he should have put in Shamet. We need somebody else in here. Like, okay. I don't know. Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Yeah, good morning, C-Mac. So
good
where
morning.
Was the defense the last couple of the games, 1-2, and four? Where was the defense?
Yeah.
They didn't show up.
No.
And they blame, you can't blame the coach. I mean, no, I've given him some blame, yeah, but how are you going to blame him when he's not, he doesn't touch the ball at all?
Yeah,
he's
mean.
Trying to tell them to move back on defense. He's yelling at them, and they're not doing it. How's it his fault?
I don't disagree. Look, he gets his share of blame. As I'm giving him
yes,
a share of credit. He gets a share of blame. And,
right. And he's getting more blame than credit.
No, it seems that way from a lot of the fan base, and it's starting to annoy me now. But, yeah, I understand. And, look, it is frustrating to watch the game tonight on some level. As great as it was and as glad as we are that he didn't, you know, end the season – and
right.
that they got off the deck and they got this performance and they were able to do it. It is also frustrating to not think, man, if you could have played like this a couple of times earlier in this series, it might be a different scenario.
It would be up.
Yeah. So I understand the frustration, but too much on the coach.
No, it is too much on the coach because, you know what, he doesn't touch the ball. He tells the guys, get back on defense. What, they don't know how to play defense? I mean, example, Riley's team played great defense, but their offense was suspect.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's one or the other. We don't want to go back to Jeremy Lin, please. I mean, why do we have to live off that?
No, I mean, we're not living off it anymore, but we were. That's my point. We were. When I was doing Carton and Roberts, which isn't that long ago, we would go through all those sound bites they had of everybody saying, I have Linsanity. Hi, this is Phil Simms, and I have Linsanity. And all the other like lines that we played over and over again. Anytime we talked Knicks, I'd have to have the Linsanity lines ready because that's what we talked about. That was the moment. You know how many times we had the discussion about how the at least the Knicks have Linsanity because the Jets' biggest moment is the butt fumble? Like, those are the two franchises. There would be arguments. Well, at least we have Linsanity. The moment for Jets fans is the butt fumble. The most famous moment. Like, that's it. And I'm yet to see the GM and the coach. We'll see. Maybe the Jets have found it, and AD, we'll see. But in AG, we'll see. But yet to see the coach that's turned around the Jets. That's what this is like. Can you imagine, like, let me ask you, can you imagine hiring a head coach for the New York Jets, and within a couple of years, he's won the wild card round of the NFL playoffs 3 years in a row, and the Jets are playing in the AFC championship game, and he ran the ball on 3rd and 7, and we want him fired. Can you imagine that? Just for a second. Imagine a head coach coming to the New York Jets, giving them back-to-back 13-win seasons, winning at least a playoff game 3 years in a row, and playing in the AFC championship game.
And upsetting the defending Super Bowl champion that you're like a 14 or double-digit point underdog in the game.
Upsetting the Kansas City Chiefs.
On the road.
As an 11.5-point underdog in the game. And then you get to the AFC championship game. You're down by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And you're complaining about the play calling in the first drive of the game. And you want him fired for it. Like, that's where we are. That's the same scenario, Jet fans. Think about it. Because you can't tell me the Knicks weren't where the Jets are. The Knicks were absolutely where the Jets are right now when Tibbs took over the Knicks. The same thing. Can you imagine wanting the Jets head coach fired for that? Can you imagine? The level of success we are talking about? It's crazy. It's crazy. Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris. What's going on, my guy?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good. I'm tempering my enthusiasm, but you know, really quick before I get into a possible game seven, this eerily feels like 1995. Didn't Reggie Miller like destroy us in the last minute and get to a 3-1, and then we ultimately got it to a seventh game?
Yeah. The finger roll. Yeah, and that was the finger roll series. Yes.
This feels very similar. Like we blew game one just like we did back then, and somehow we got it. It was down 3-1. We got it to the seventh game, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd sign up. I'd give anything for a seventh game right now.
Oh,
and
of course.
That's leading to my next point, is that if you get this to a seventh game, I mean, all the pressure is, I mean, of course the Knicks have some, but could you imagine taunting the Knicks fans and the players that they choked after game one
mm-hmm.
and then possibly choking a 3-1 lead? The Garden would be insane, Chris.
Oh,
like, that would
no,
be worth
you're right, and that's part of it too. I didn't even mention that. With the choke sign, which, again, was a different series that the Knicks ended up coming back and winning after the choke game with Reggie Miller. But I always get those series a little bit mismatched. But, yes. But you're right. Think about it right now. Think of the pressure that Halliburton's feeling right now. He comes back into the building where they win the first two games, including the game one historical comeback, and he gives you the Reggie Miller choke sign. But you're right. Even now. He's got to go back home off of this performance where he has seven shots in the game. And now they have to win this game or he's going to be facing that Garden crowd in a game seven. And the possibility of blowing a 3-1 lead, you're 100% right. There is a lot of pressure on Halliburton now. There wasn't much going into last night. And it's amazing because that's how quick it turns. Everyone said, oh, you know, I expect the Knicks to win. That was the feeling. I was listening to the station a lot today. And from the callers and everybody, you know, we expect the Knicks to win this game, but it's going to be difficult to win the series. I expect to win this game. You don't want to get blown out on your home court. You don't want to lose the series in five at Madison Square Garden. That would really be embarrassing. It'd be a tough, you know, then you're really talking about a really bad series loss. So everyone expected the Knicks to win the game, but the series is tough. And then you actually win the game. And suddenly, I'm not telling you I absolutely, with 100% confidence, feel like the Knicks are going to win game six. But you feel better. Somehow you feel better about it. Because it's one thing saying, oh, I expect them to win, but then game six is going to be tough. It's another to watch the game, watch their performance, see the way they won the game. And now you feel a little bit better about it, especially Halliburton only takes seven shots. Like the way the game was played, the way the game was won, you start to feel better about game six than you did going into it, even though you expected them to win. And that's how quick it changes. Halliburton and the Pacers have no pressure on them in a game five. They're up 3-1. If they lose, they still get to come home for game six. That's how you go into it. That's how we all talk about it. That's how we feel about it. And they kind of acted that way. The Pacers handled the game that way. It felt like they played the game that way. But when that final horn blows and it's actually over now and you have given up the game that you had no pressure on you and you lose the game everyone expected you to lose, or you're the Knicks and you win the game everyone expects you to win, suddenly when the final whistle blows, now it's suddenly real. And now game six has a lot of pressure on the Indiana Pacers. And that's why I always find it funny. Oh, there's no pressure. There's a lot of pressure. There's no pressure. I understand that there's no pressure. But at the same time, all it takes is that one loss, and now suddenly there's tons of pressure. Now they can't lose this game at home. Now they don't want to put themselves in a position of coming back to New York for a game seven. Losing two games in a row with all the momentum into the Knicks' favor. You can't lose this game if you're the Pacers. So it changes so quick, even though, and what I find funny thinking about it now, is you're so cavalier all day long in saying, yeah, I expect the Knicks to win. I think they'll show up at home. I think they'll show up at home. I don't think they lose at home. They probably lose in six. It's very difficult to come back into a series like this. It's tough. You know, I think they're, but at least they'll give us tonight. And even though you say that and you believe it and you expect it, and even though it's followed with, I don't know about game six, it's going to be tough. And once you actually win the game five, then you start to feel better about that game six. Then you start to fool yourself into going, and especially when they do it in this dominating fashion, It wasn't a lousy game that Jalen Brunson pulled out of the fire. It wasn't a poor performance that they figured out a way to win in the final few moments. They kicked the crap out of the Pacers. And suddenly all of our, well, you know, I expect them to win tonight, but six is going to really be tough. And I think we all think six is still going to be really tough, but we feel better about it. And now the pressure that was non-existent for the Pacers heading into Madison Square Garden last night is immediately on them leaving Madison Square Garden last night. Now they have to go win this game. It feels like a must-win game for both teams. It's technically not, but it's going to feel that way. It changes that quick. Andre in Queens. What's up, Andre?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. I hope Indiana chokes. We can get to a game seven and give them the choke sign in the garden. Mm-hmm. To tell them, choke's on you, guys.
Choke's on you. That's usually an egg joke with yolk, but I like it. Choke's on you.
Yeah.
That would be, listen, I wouldn't hate it. I would not hate it if after the final horn blows on game seven and the Knicks come back and win this series, if Jalen Brunson starts giving the choke sign. But let's get there. This is going to be a very difficult game to win. All of my comments there about how suddenly you feel better about it, I believe. I do feel better about game six than I did heading into game five now that they've won it. It's weird. I expected the Knicks to win. If you would have asked me, my gut, like, you know, gun to your head, Mikey. If you would have asked me, like, gun to my head, what happens in the series, the Knicks win game five, they lose game six. That's what I would have said. And I don't know if I'm completely off it, but even though I expected the Knicks to win game five, after having watched it, I suddenly feel better about game six than I did going into game five. It's just the natural thing. But the thing you expect can still happen, and you still feel differently after watching it. So, and suddenly the pressure, this is a pressure-free game. Now the pressure is all on the Indiana Pacers. So we'll see. And especially now, the thing that I really like, now that we're talking about it too, adding the choke thing to it, Haliburton was awful in this game. I know he had the triple-double. He's had a good series. He's had the big moments. But now, all of a sudden, all the people who are giving you, you know, he's the superstar of the series, he's Mr. Clutch, he's outperforming Jalen Brunson. Now, off of Brunson's performance, especially to start the game, and then for a stretch where they almost blew a 20-point lead and he got them back with a couple of big threes and a 4-point play, like, as that narrative is going to start to change, and I don't know if Haliburton pays attention or gives a damn, but it sounds like they certainly hear what the TNT guys have to say. Everybody's aware of it. They did an interview with Karl Anthony Towns on the postgame show, and Kenny Smith said, you know, we've been critical of you about, and before he could get the word about out of his mouth, Karl Anthony Towns came back with, like, finishing his sentence. Like, he knew exactly what they've been critical with him about. So they listen, they watch, they care. And now Haliburton's going to get, where was he? It's one thing to lose the game. He took seven shots. He scored 8 points. He was invisible in this game. He took himself out. The Knicks took him out. Doesn't matter whether it was the defense, whether it was he just wasn't feeling it. I don't know. But he's got an answer now for you're great in one game, you're invisible in the next. You allowed the Knicks to take you out of your game. Brunson was great. You were awful. After game one, you give him the choke sign. You just blew the only game you had with no pressure. Now you're heading back home in a game six you have to win, and you're coming off a non-competitive performance. Forget bad. Forget, you know, unsuccessful. It was non-competitive. He wasn't involved in the game. Obi Toppin took more shots. So things change very quickly in these series. Kevin in Queens. What's up, Kev?
Chris, we're two games away.
Like two games away.
That's it. One at a time. We're on our way.
Well, every journey begins with one step, and last night was step one. There is
no doubt.
There is still a very difficult step. Watch, it's usually the first one, but in this case, it's watch the second step. It's a doozy as they got to go back to they got to go back to Indiana and win a very difficult game to win. There's no doubt about it. The coach, Carlisle, is an excellent head coach. He's going to have answers for some of the wrinkles that we've seen. Like, he's going to try and he's going to go to work. I expect Halliburton to really try and come out the way Brunson came out in this game and make a point early on that this isn't the same as game five. And this isn't Madison Square Garden. So the crowd's going to be crazy. I don't know if apparently John Mellencamp was very upset with Pat McAfee. So I don't know if John Mellencamp has scared Pat McAfee away from blasting the Knicks fans, but we'll find out. But that's going to be a crazy atmosphere. That building's going to be nuts. I don't think they're going to agree with John Mellencamp and his idea of Hoosiers hospitality. If you didn't see, John Mellencamp came out publicly and criticized Pat McAfee for, you know, mocking and having a little fun with and cutting a wrestling type promo against all of the New York celebrities like Chalamet and Ben Stiller after game four. Or halftime of game four, or whatever it was in game four. He was very critical of it. Not very It's 3:53 in the morning. I'm just going to move on from the word instead of trying to say it correctly. Hospitable. There we go. Wasn't very hospitable. The great John Cougar Mellencamp. But we'll see. I would think it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. I think everyone's going to be going nuts. And I think, again, as I've said a lot in the series, although it's always come, I don't know if I've necessarily been right about it. I do think the beginning of this game had a real impact on how the entire game was played. I think Brunson coming out and playing the way he did impacted this game. But so many of these games come down to the final minutes. But I really think, especially off of how Halliburton played at the end of the game, through this game, he's going to want to come out and take charge early on. The defensive effort in the first quarter of the game and trying to continue to shut down Halliburton is going to be enormous because Halliburton's going to force it. So if you make him take ugly shots, he'll take them. If you force him into bad looks, he's going to shoot it. I just have a feeling he's going to come out and really try and establish himself after this kind of performance. It wasn't just bad. It was non-existent. He wasn't involved in the game. They didn't say his name all but three or four times in the entire broadcast. Like, he wasn't involved in the game. He's going to really want to come out and make his presence felt. And if you can make it difficult for him, and he's missing shots, and he's turning the ball over, and he's unable to get his game going, suddenly that starts to build on itself. That's, I think it's very important how they play defense on Halliburton to start the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.